إن الحمد لله
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My brothers, I want to remind myself and you of two principles that I try to live by. I hope that will be beneficial for you also. And both of these, alhamdulillah, are based on the Quran and the Sunnah. The first principle is that I remind myself that I will not be asked what happened, but I will be asked, what did you do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask me, and He will not ask you, what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me, what did you do? That's the first principle. And the second principle that I try to live by, and I recommend that for you also, which is that I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. I will repeat that. I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. The reason I am saying this is that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and protect the Muslim Ummah and relieve suffering and relieve difficulties and save us from disasters and save us from tests and tribulations and trials and so forth. But wallah alam, I am not sitting here predicting the future, but from the what in Hindi we call lakshana, which is the signs. Lakshana achhe nahi. Signs do not seem to be good. But we all know what is going on. So therefore, there is a tendency, and there will always be a tendency, for us to sit and make tafsiras and to make, talk about and to comment on global situations. Nothing wrong with that. And nothing wrong with trying to understand what is the global situation. But the danger is that if one gets overly involved in that, and sometimes you see this, people sitting whole night, discussions on this global event, that global event, and so on and so forth, and who said this, and what was Nostradamus's prediction about this, and what was so-and-so's. At the end of all of that, if he asks the question, then now if you die, where will you be? Now, that answer to that question has nothing to do with all this global phenomena that we talked about. If you, for example, just to give you an example, if you were liable to make Hajj and you did not make Hajj and you died, where will you be? Irrespective of what happens in Iraq or Syria or Palestine or Hindustan or Pakistan or whichever town. If you were liable to make Hajj and you died without making Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive those people who are in that situation, but where will you be? Very simple question. And one can relate this across. So therefore, it is very important for us to focus on ourselves. Somebody sent me a video of Shaykh Saud al-Shuraim, who was leading Salah in the Haram, and in Surah Al-Fatiha, he cried so much that he got stuck in Surah Al-Fatiha. And he had to repeat Surah Al-Fatiha, the ayat, couple of times before he could finish the surah. He was weeping. Somebody sent me this video and says, why is he crying? So I said, the actual question you should be asking is, why am I not crying? Seriously, I mean, why is he crying? He is crying because of his connection with Allah. What does that have to do with you? Right? Question to ask yourself is, and I need to ask the question myself, is I also read the Surah Al-Fatiha, you also read the Surah Al-Fatiha in every Salah, how come you don't cry? Now, that is the point I am saying. Forget about the world. Why is he doing this? Don't worry about why he or she is doing it. Allah will not ask you that question. Allah will not say, why did Ahmad Sayyid do this? Ahmad Sayyid, alhamdulillah, whatever he does, the good is with him. And if there is anything wrong, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him. Allah will not ask me. Allah will say, what did you do? So don't worry about this one and that one. Don't worry about, as I said, within reason, yes, within reason, analyzing a political situation and so on. It's very important for us to analyze, to look at, you know, plan scenarios and so on. But if you take it beyond a limit, has no meaning. And that is what we do. And that's the reason why I say, I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. Now, what is not in my control? Global situation. Syria, this one, that one. Alhamdulillah. Whatever is happening. Not in my control. Right? Can I influence the what is happening or what is going to happen in Syria? No. Can I influence what's happening in Egypt or Palestine? No. But can I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tahajjud every single day without fail, without, not a single day must pass. Can I make this rule for myself? Not a single day must pass that I do not make dua in sujood, in tahajjud for Syria, for Iraq, for Palestine. Is it possible? Is this possible? Yes. Definitely possible. Absolutely. For all of us. We can make this niyyah, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah give us the strength. We can do this. Now, my point is, how many people will sit and make all of these tafsiras, but you ask him, did you pray Fajr? Did you pray tahajjud? No. So, what is in our control, we don't do. And we get stuck in what is not in our control. And that is the opposite of what. Don't worry about what is not in your control. Do what is in your control. As one of my friends says, we all want to fight the battle of Badr, but we cannot fight the battle of Fajr. Or I like my dear friend and Ustad, Mufti Menk, one day he said, you know, all these young men, they like to go to the gym and they pump iron and they lift, you know, 100 kilograms and so forth. But they cannot, they don't have the strength to lift the bed cover, to lift the blanket from their face for to get up for Salatul Fajr. He said, where is the strength? Huh? For Fajr, you want to pump iron in the gym. He said, instead of that, lift the blanket in the morning. That is better for you. Subhanallah, I mean, seriously, just think about this. You know, all of this talk, where does it get us? Nowhere. Apart from wasting of time, nothing else. Whereas, what is it that we can actually do? Seriously, think about that. How much money? Just to give you an example. Today, one of the big problems of this, of Muslims in India is, we have no organized legal defense for any discrimination that happens against us. If one of us is arrested, and we know our police arrests, you know, whims and fancies. I mean, there's no reason for arrest. If one of us gets arrested and gets hauled off to the police station, there is no formal legal defense system which will swing into action and ensure that justice is done, that torture is not used, and that the person is freed from there without any negative impact on that person. So, this is an absolutely critical necessity. Ask yourself, how much money are we spending, how much time are we spending on creating this legal structure? At the same time, ask yourself, how much money are we spending on ghazal parties and qawwali parties and ostentatious weddings and so on and so forth? Seriously, ask yourself the question. So, what is the good of talking about the global community and blah, blah, blah? All of this is absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. If we simply take one single day, I'm not even talking about a year, one single day, the amount of money which is spent on ostentatious weddings in this one city is enough to create a legal structure which can be populated by Supreme Court lawyers and justices. There is that much of money that is being spent and going down the drain, and yet we are sitting here and we are saying, well, we are discriminated. Of course, you'll be discriminated against if you are a sheep. Then your logical end is the abattoir to be slaughtered. Simple as that. So instead of wasting our time in talking about all this, global, that, let us focus on ourselves and say, I will not be asked what happened. I will be asked, what did I do? And therefore, let me ask this question to myself. Don't worry, why did the imam cry? Forget the imam. Why did you not cry? Ask yourself that question. The khushu of the imam is not your problem. Your khushu is your problem. How come you go to the masjid and you pray and there is no effect on your life? Ask yourself this question. Seriously. In Surah An-Nur, yesterday in the khutbah I mentioned this in detail. In Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned the issue of khilafah and the issue of changing a situation of insecurity and hardship and danger into a situation of security. Specifically, as well, these two things, khilafah and changing a situation of danger and hardship into a situation of aman, of security. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. And what did He say? Why, how will He do it? If you obey Allah and if you obey the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So ask yourself, are you obeying Allah? Are you obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or are you making excuses and this and that, and you obey something which you like and you don't obey something you don't like and you have some justification for disobedience? Do what you want, no problem, because the consequences of those actions are on your own head, good or bad. And that's why I remind myself and you, we don't know how much time we have left. Let us focus, let us use that time in a way which is the most beneficial for us, because automatically that becomes beneficial for everybody else, inshallah. So let us focus on that. Let us give this message also to our own families, to our own circles and so on and so forth. If you are sitting in a place where something like this is going on, tell people, please let us stop talking about that. Let us look at ourselves. What is it that we are doing? Don't talk about this happened, that happened. Say, what is it that we are doing? If you find somebody, if you find people spending time, money, energy, resources in things that are useless, minimum at least advise them. If they don't listen to you, that's not your problem, but at least minimum advise them so that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be counted as a person who gave the advice. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a question that people will be asked. The people who will be thrown into the hellfire, the angels, the malaika will ask them, Alam yatikum nazir? From Surah Al-Mulk. We heard this ayah. Alam yatikum nazir? They will ask, did nobody come to warn you? قَالُوا بَلَاقَ جَاءَنَا نَزِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا. Yes, of course. Why not? People came to warn us, but we denied. We denied. We refused to accept. So let us not be among those who refuse to accept. Let us be among those who not only accept, but who become the warners for others. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as long as there is somebody who is standing and speaking about corruption and against corruption, who is warning against evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not bring azab on that community. So let us be among those who are the cause. Forget about the people. People may not like you. People have no sense. Doesn't matter what they like, what they don't like has no meaning. Trash. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us be among those who will be counted as those people who held off the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the community because you had the courage to stand and speak against what was going wrong. We need to practice that and we need to speak that. Inshallah al-Mustaan. Because remember, the day those voices are silenced, then wait for the azab of Allah. The day those voices are silenced, either because of your own inaction and your own nonsense, or because they die, and no one else has the courage to stand up, then wait for the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is what He promised. We ask Allah to save us from His punishment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the sense to do that which is pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us from that which displeases Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.